Welcome back to Trust the Process, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of real estate, construction, and new homes. This is the second half of our year-end wrap-up, what we knew about 2024, and now we're moving into 2025 and some of the things that have happened there. In our 2024 episode, we talked a little bit more on a national scale, bringing it back home to the Vegas market now, though we have listeners who are in other areas. In this particular episode, we're going to talk specifically about the Vegas market and how some of those national trends from 2024 have carried over into what we imagine will happen over the next 12 months.
Exactly. I think we can use Las Vegas as a microcosm for a lot of growing Sunbelt cities, because although the exact numbers might be different, the trends are largely the same. Then, as we mentioned in our last episode, there are national factors that do kind of mold our market. Migration, people leaving the northeastern seaboard, people leaving kind of the denser cities for suburbia. And when they're making those moves, a lot of times they're moving to other states. So they're coming from California to Nevada to Arizona to Texas. They're coming going from New York to North Carolina to Georgia to Atlanta Metro. And then a lot of the metropolitan suburban areas in Florida. Those markets are Las Vegas, and the numbers are going to be very different, but the trends are there, and the factors that affect those trends are there. So last episode, we talked about stubbornly high rates. As I look forward into 2025, I see sixes again. I don't foresee substantial drops in the 30-year fixed mortgage rate. That'll be enough to really move the needle on affordability and where we could call ourselves being in a low-rate environment. And for context, if you look at the 30-year fixed mortgage, came out in the early 70s, and if you average the rate over all those 50-some years, you come up with a rate in the fives. So people will say, oh, in my day, the rates were 14% and 15%. Yes, but that was as short-lived as our 2% rates were. That was a very small area under the curve. So yes, we can acknowledge that.
And loan structures were different then. There were assumable loans. There were
owner carries. I mean, a lot of times you buy a land contract, and homes were as a multiplier of income so much cheaper. I hate to use the word, but they were arguably more affordable.
And more affordable when you say cheap. I mean, it building standards have changed so much over the years, which has led to
inflating costs. And when they say they don't build homes like they used to, that is an absolute load of in a good way. First of all, just the amount of inspections, the amount of jurisdictional inspections that go into a home, the amount of engineering that goes into every single home, energy audits, things like that. Homes are built tighter, substantially more solid than they ever have been, which is why it's so hard to create new inventory. I'm not advocating to walk that back, but we have to know what we're dealing with.
With each new standard, that's creating an increase in the build price.
It does.
So it's not just some manufactured inflation. It's reflective of what it's actually costing to build that home.
Exactly, and it's how real estate is a representation of everything converging. Financial markets, when it comes to mortgage rates, public policy when it comes to building codes, energy standards, zoning, the cost of water tapping fees when you're in a desert climate and in a drought. There's a lot of things that play into this. And then the labor market in terms of who's going to build your
homes,
but then who's buying your homes. So it's everything converging. And then you also have functionality and design tastes and standards that change throughout the year. So not only is some of the inventory in the wrong location, but if it's in the right location, it might be wildly dated, and it might not be something that's palatable to the mass market. And it makes the industry that I'm in. I mean, I can't gripe about it too much because it's why there is this industry. And it were streamlined and less cumbersome, it wouldn't be a business. There'd be no business in it, right? It would be too simple, and people would build their own homes. People would develop their own parcels. So it's a blessing and a curse. On that topic, though, if you look at where the industry is, this industry that we love, it's chugging along. And that's why 2025 and 2024 and 2023, you're not seeing these big swings. You definitely saw a swing in 21 because it was that chasm created by COVID. So you'd see deliveries lower and then they rebounded. But overall, the build process and the development process is on such long horizons. A lot of those things kind of iron out. I mean, these little temporary blips. Now, we're in a period of sustained elevated rates. It's still on a long enough horizon that buyers can absorb in their mind that rates are higher. They absorb what $500,000 gets them. In my days as a broker, I would see people who waited too long, and then the market 6 months later was a wildly different market. Mm-hmm. We're talking over a horizon of 6 months. It's still half a year. That's still a pretty long time.
The other day we had a conversation about how one of the best parts of this last year, when rates did spike a little, because people yes. get that fear, oh my gosh, am I going to miss it? I really should buy now. They're all
exactly.
watching it thinking, right. well, it could fall when they realize it's not. And that's
right.
when the market actually
it
started to pick up. It gave a great burst for the
exactly.
for the real estate market as a whole.
100%. And what we saw was a paradoxical situation where rates started to drop, and there was a little brief sliver of light in, I want to say, the summer of 2024, where it looked like we might see rates that start with a 5. Mm-hmm. They might be 5.99999. But we thought for the first time since 2022, we might see rates that start with a 5. And it maybe one person got lucky and bought a point, got to 5.75.
Right.
But there's not a big cache of people that had 5 rates, even 5.999. Most people are still well into the 6s. So buyers were waiting as rates mm-hmm. were coming off of the 7s and going into that little sliver of light. We saw sales drop tremendously. We saw new home traffic drop tremendously. We saw just general waiting, wait and see. Mm-hmm. Then as rates obviously rebounded and came back, we saw a spike in activity
that ran. The other day, they were playing chicken.
They're playing chicken with the mortgage rate market and the real estate market to an extent. They're looking at these homes. They're passing, thinking, yeah. oh, well, I'll have forever. I can get that house whenever. Mm-hmm. It's been on the market for 86 days. Mm-hmm. And then rates go up and your inventory shrinks. So buyer psychology is really important in the real estate market, and then also in new home construction as well. Because really what we do in new home construction has to be informed by what's happening in the resale market. We're building homes, and there are plenty of homes out there. Mm-hmm. Now they're not available.
Right.
People live in them, or they're holding onto them for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, we have to be informed by what's happening in the existing home market. Springboarding into Las Vegas and other Sun Belt areas, we're seeing finished about 11,500 homes in 2024.
Okay.
And we expect to finish around that same number in 2025, just based off of what permits are pulled right now and trends. There's about 9,000 ready to develop lots. And that's just something that could be developed within the next 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
So there is the lot inventory in Las Vegas. Now, again, most of that's held by those Fortune 500 home builders and publicly traded home builders. Those aren't lots. You can't go buy 9,000
right.
lots in Las Vegas. I would say it's probably 400 lots, and they're all luxury mm-hmm. lots for the most part, that you could actually buy in Las Vegas. But there's the lots that are developed. That's not even counting the infrastructure and the work that's going to be happening in the next, you know, 3 or 4 quarters mm-hmm. that will deliver more ready-to-go lots. So assuming that builders will build on all 9,400 plus additional lots being brought to market, it stands to reason that we'll probably see around the same number of homes delivered, single-family homes, give or take mm-hmm. 10%. Mm-hmm. I think will be probably not less than 10 and not more than 12,000 tops being completed in single family. Mm-hmm. Now, when we go into multifamily, we see around 4 to 4,500 doors being completed. So just some quick math, that's around 15,000 doors. Las Vegas grew by 26,000 households last year. If we see that same growth, and the projections are, we're actually significantly overperforming norms in Las Vegas, and I would imagine many Sun Belt cities are in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
We're overperforming, so I have no reason to believe that in 25 we're not going to see the same household creation. That's new inbound migration. That's household formation of just your kids grow up and they get married
yes.
and they do their thing, and that also accounts for people that either die and households that are lost,
mm-hmm.
or people that move out of state, households that are lost. So that's a net increase of well over 20,000.
Those numbers and how they match up, there is such a void.
Huge disparity.
Huge.
Doing
how
the quick,
do we close that, or do we close that?
I mean, the problem is the housing market is not elastic. There's nowhere to go. You can't just snap your fingers and make 4,000. I mean, quick math, it's between 4,000 to 7,000 doors short every year that's building up. The estimates are we're around 20% underbuilt every year, which is a really
is
bad deficit,
yes.
right, to overcome. That's why we've seen nearly 100% price appreciation since before COVID. We're seeing supply and demand in real time. We're going to be hard-pressed to add to demand. So what you would think is that you're just going to see more doubling up, less household formation, and that's bearing out even in national politics. This idea that I can't start my life because I can't form a household, because I can't afford a house, because I can't afford a mortgage, because I can't... And it's having political implications. People are voting on these issues because it matters to them, household formation, because that's where it's going to give first. It has to.
Right. And not even by intention, just by design.
Just by design. It's cold out, you put a jacket on. It's just cause and effect. And that's where we're going to see the elasticity. You're not going to have new doors created. Builders can only, you know, go so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a while before you see downward pressure on migration because of price. I think people are still going to relocate. There's a very high threshold. The average person migrating to a Sunbelt city for a better life is going to have price of homes and cost of living not as high on their agenda as the move itself, because almost all Sunbelt cities are in the same boat.
Which market is going to move quickest? We've been watching the entry-level product work has been moving quickly mm-hmm. in recent years.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that it is slowing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because you would think that as borrowing costs are higher and mm-hmm. home prices are higher, the bottom
up is where it's at. Right
yes,
now.
You would think
as we enter 2025.
That's right.
Today.
You would think the bottom of the market is where it's at. As it turns out, the most vulnerable to rate shocks, mm-hmm. the most vulnerable to unemployment, the most vulnerable
Absolutely.
To minor economic changes can sway their fortunes drastically. So if you're building to that bottom of the market, you're very exposed.
And the greatest underserved market.
It's a positive feedback loop. It's so underserved because it is underserved because it's... So,
it is.
And if you're a builder, to risk, and as we get in the weeds later on in the podcast, talk about some individual projects that we have coming as a mm-hmm. company, and as we're making decisions as to how to build those out, this is informing my decisions. The risk is higher building to the bottom of the market. First, you have less room to go. You have less room to absorb surprises. If you're building at the median, which is in the middle $400,000 range, if you have a $50,000 surprise per home site, it's 10% of the entire end-of-day sales price. You can't sustain it. It's risky. If you're building to 150% of the median sales price at $800,000, mm-hmm. you have a $50,000 surprise.
Those are the things that I'm excited to expose that and to share those
right.
pieces. Those are things that people are aware of or
That's
haven't
right.
even, there's just, you don't know what you don't know. And
That's
if you
right.
haven't thought about it from that back-end perspective, this is going to open that door to the thought processes that go into your business model.
And hopefully start to explain some of the nuances and some of the method to the madness of the real estate
mm-hmm.
market. I don't see the problem reversing. Like I said, I think household formation will be the first to go. And then eventually, as our supply and demand gets too outstripped, you might start to see some people second guessing moves to certain Sunbelt cities
mm-hmm.
that don't have the room to grow out or that can't meet that demand. That people can't, in a city like Las Vegas or Phoenix, they can't just drive another 30 minutes like you might be able to in Texas. You might be able mm-hmm. to in Atlanta. You might be able to move to an exurb. We don't have exurbs in these Southwest
mm-hmm.
Sunbelt markets.
We know the middle of town is built out and going to be more expensive. And so a lot of those cities are growing into the ancillary communities
right.
and now
referred
to allow a lower price point or a more
Yeah, and that's ideally the elasticity that the real estate market
right.
has followed since suburban sprawl after World War II. That's what it was. The belts became mm-hmm. the elasticity in the housing market and then kind of helped to keep prices, and appreciation very stable, and we don't really have that, at least in our market.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a great ride.
And,
projects on the books for trust, land that is in the works and things
yeah.
that are happening. And
a lot of
and
things
we'll,
yeah,
we'll continue
at the drawing
to
board.
Chronicle those. Though, it's all the crystal ball guess at this point. We really
we're reading the tea
know.
Leaves. Yeah,
yes.
We're reading the tea leaves.
Tea leaves, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us again, and we'll be back soon. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.